Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 1234 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brennan Escott with you on Oilers Now. The Oilers and the Ottawa Senators postponed for tonight. That game's going to be moved Saturday, 8 p.m. Second part of a doubleheader for Hockey Night in Canada. Tonight, the NCAA National Championship game, Alabama and Georgia, will have huge viewership numbers. Alabama beat Georgia, marginal upset at that time in the SEC Championship game. Alabama has won 6 of the last 12 national championships. This has been as dominant of a stretch as we've had in the modern era of sport. I don't think there's any question about that. I had a bad feeling for Bama tonight. I think Georgia's due. They got a good team, too. Excellent recruiting classes year after year. Some guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring the night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. 9990 Jasper Avenue. You can tell Brendan, Chris, and Taylor that Oilers Now sent you. Mr. Escott is just working the lines as we speak to negotiate contact with our next guest.
We've figured it out, and I think this is going to come with a funny story. I don't have him yet, but I'll let you know when I do. It's not on his normal phone, I'll say that.
He's not on his normal phone, but we are going to get him at some point?
Yeah, some point in the next couple of minutes here.
All right. Desmond in Sturgeon County says, Bob, just wondering if you can comment on Elliot Friedman's report about the Oilers not being open to trading this year's first round pick. Well, if you listen to the opening of the show, it's very specific. If the Oilers are a top eight or top, you know, team, would you consider moving the pick? Top eight means that your pick is 25th to 32nd. Right now, the Edmonton Oilers are middle of the pack. They were number one when I asked Ken Holland, the general manager of the team, that question. With a 16-5 record, they had the best winning percentage in the National Hockey League. The Oilers have gone 2-9-2 since. You take a look at how you build teams, and most successful organizations build internally through the draft. Even the Yankees, when the New York Yankees, when they won the 4 World Series out of 5 years from 96 to 2001, a lot of the base of the team, guys like Jeter, were drafted and developed players. I mean, just if you want to take it one step further, on next year's team, I have for the 2022-23 season, McDavid, Puljujärvi, Draisaitl, Yamamoto, McLeod, and Holloway and RNH. That's 7 drafted and developed players, because I'll have Holloway on the team next year. And on defense, I'll have Nurse, Bouchard, and Broberg all on the team, all that drafted and developed prospects. And I got Stuart Skinner on the team next year with Mike Smith. So there's your... That's 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goal. And then you build around that accordingly. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Doug in Slave Lake says, Mr. Bob, after trying your damnedest to sink Koskinen and Chip, how do you feel now that Mike replied to the questions asked of him? From Doug in Slave. Doug, have you been listening to the show for the last couple of years? I was the guy that said 2 years ago that Koskinen outplayed Mike Smith during the 1920 season. I would have started Koskinen in game 1 against the Chicago Blackhawks. Then last year, when everybody was down on Koskinen after Smith put up a 923, I'm the one that, and I'm not the only media guy that felt this way. Most of us felt that Mike Smith would be hard-pressed to get back to 923, and most of us felt that Mikko Koskinen would be better than 899. The problem Koskinen has is he can't start 5 out of 7 and give you 5 good games. That's part of the challenge. Now, Smith came in, and once he got healthy last year was really good. And maybe it's been a little bit unfair to Mikko Koskinen that he's had to shoulder the load. And for as many people that would defend Mikko Koskinen right now, there's many others who would say the Oilers have got the wrong goalie here. Stuart Skinner should be here at a 916 save percentage. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, how can you pencil in guys as guaranteed players next year when they haven't put any time in the AHL, specifically Holloway and Broberg? I'm telling you right now, I've got those guys on the team next season, okay? The players are the ones that always give me the best. Like, I'll give you an example. The guys, when they saw Neil Yakupov play early, were not sold on Neil Yakupov. There was concerns about his ability to read and react to the game. Conversely, there's a fair amount of confidence from prominent Oiler players on what Holloway will be able to do and what Broberg will be able to do, just as there was with what Bouchard would be able to do, which was part of the reason why I was in on Bouchard as much as I said I was last season. Brendan,
the package is here.
The package has arrived. Well, there you go. By the way, I just want to throw this out there. I'm going to point blank ask everybody on the Ashley Fine Forest text line to chime in. Would you want Evander Kane? Would you take? Is he worth taking a flyer on? 780-496-0063. And when I mean a flyer, I mean like a $1 million prorated deal the rest of the way, given that he's cleared waivers around the league. Would you take a chance on him? The guy had terrific numbers the last full season with the San Jose Sharks. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that, but we're about to find out as we bring aboard our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling, you need get it with no payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. Hello, John Shannon. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Did we have some issues with the phone? Did you lose a phone over the weekend or throw one up against the wall? And no comment?
No comment. No comment.
You can either confirm nor deny what's gone on.
Well, the magic is technology still works.
There we go. I find that I'm very challenged in that regard. I don't know about you. It's an ongoing. So let's start with Evander Kane. Would he be worth the risk for you?
No, not for me. Not at all.
Why not?
Not at all. Well, first of all, can't play in the United States, non-vaccinated. So that would be an issue that the Oilers are still having with if Josh Archibald was still playing and available. So that's one thing. I truly believe in character, and I do question his character at this point. And his ability is in the top 10 percentile in the National Hockey League. But I think when you have to look at character in these situations, and he's not a character that I want on my hockey club.
I would want feedback if I was in Ken Holland's shoes from Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Darnell Nurse. You know what? What do you guys think?
Yeah,
Is it worth giving this? Listen,
that you know, Bob, that happens now on every team when there's a major acquisition being made that the star players get consulted on. Here's what we're thinking. Here's what we're doing. What do you think? Hopefully, Ken would get frank and honest opinions about Kane in this situation or any player in this situation. But as far as I'm concerned, I would not have Evander Kane on my team.
Because of the vaccination situation and some of the ways he's attempted to bypass it, there's a little bit of an Antonio Brown scenario here, isn't there?
I did occur to me. But the other thing is we have to also wonder, we know that he's already served his NHL suspension.
Yes.
But by breaking the AHL rules, does that mean the NHL could revisit a consequential suspension? I'm not sure about that at this stage.
Yeah. So again, my scenario is $1 million prorated deal remainder of the year, assuming you have approval from, you know, that it's not a contentious issue within the players. You know, and Randy out of Brooks says no to Kane. Locker room poison, in my opinion, for what it's worth. And I know that, I just saw him in Long Island. He just moved from San Jose. Kevin Kurz wrote a piece that was strongly indicated that several of his San Jose teammates had enough of Evander's act.
I truly believe that management in San Jose took it to the players there. Would you want him back? And I think that I think the indication that he was put on waivers yesterday probably reflects that.
This is an interesting one because the NHLPA has filed a grievance. He could theoretically, because he's been waived, could he not get signed by a new team, get a new contract, and still win the grievance and get the money from the old contract? I believe that could happen.
Oh no, he can still win the money from the original contract. Absolutely. There's no question about that. He's still entitled to a great deal of that money. The question of the grievance isn't, I don't believe it's not necessarily on the amount of funds he's going to receive, Bob. I think the grievance is whether they have a right to cut him based on the rationale that they've given. That's part of the grievance.
You know what's interesting? Glenn Sather made a lot of hay back in the 1980s. Now, the Oilers had a better team back then. Some might say they had better culture. They had a cavalcade of top-end stars. The game was different. The separations between the haves and the have-nots was greater in the 1980s. I mean, remember, 16 of 21 teams made it. Those bottom five teams back then, they were bad. And now you have, you know, maybe five or six really good teams, four of which seemingly are in the East.
And I was around when Slats was doing that, and I use the word very respectfully, reclamation projects.
Yes,
Glenn made a habit of having a reclamation project. The greatest one, the most successful one, and the one that was successful for the person and for the team, obviously, was Craig McTavish.
Yes.
Who ended up becoming an outstanding Oiler and improved his character. There were others that didn't necessarily work. Don Murdoch comes to mind when he got signed by the Oilers. But at the time when those players were acquired, in my opinion, they were there for role plays. I mean, Evander Kane coming to this team would not be a role player, would not be a bottom six player, and I think that has to be put into consideration as well. It's an interesting one. As soon as the waivers occurred yesterday, I wondered what teams would have interest. If somebody phoned me from a team and asked me what I would do, I would not even consider it.
Would you have considered signing Anthony DeAngelo like Carolina did?
Tony DeAngelo, that's a different to me. Tony DeAngelo's. I'd like to get more of an understanding and story of what went on in the dressing room in New York. I had lots of friends on that Ranger organization that talked about him as a distraction, and they had no choice but to remove him from the situation that did not reflect on his ability as a player. I think you have to, every one of these situations is different. DeAngelo, I've known of Tony and his whereabouts and what he believes in, what he thinks since he was a junior player in Sault Ste. Marie. I probably would have steered away from DeAngelo as well.
And Carolina didn't care. I mean, they sat there. They're an organization that's heavily analytics-driven, and they knew that DeAngelo was going to be able to overachieve the price point, and he signed for nothing. So they walked on Dougie Hamilton and saved a bunch of money and got DeAngelo, and he's running their power play. So, and some would say DeAngelo was victimized because he was a Trumpkin and he had the wrong politics, and others would say he was a distraction on the Rangers with the incident involving Georgiev, and none of us were there, so we don't know. But I wonder whether or not Carolina would be the type of team that would take a... They don't need to. They got such a good team. but they might be the type of team that takes a swing on. Is it easier to take a swing on a guy, John? We can ask our listeners this on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Is it easier when you're in a quieter market? You know what I'm saying? Well, like when you're not in. You know the answer to that question.
That's a great question. Everybody talks about. I think even coaches will tell you that higher profile markets are different to manage. I mean, Bruce Boudreau, even in the short period of time he's been in Vancouver, says this is a much more difficult market to be in than any of the other markets he's coached in the National Hockey League. So the answer is, of course it changes the market you're in. Evander Kane has been in almost every type of market. When you think about a hockey-crazed market like Winnipeg, a hockey-crazed market like Buffalo, and a suburban market like San Jose. So it's it would be and coming from a city like Vancouver, where he played junior hockey, he's run the gamut of being in those different types of markets.
Craiger out west says, imagine being at the epicenter of the analytics movement, guys from your city working for teams all over the league, including Florida, Carolina, Washington, Vegas, etc., some of the best managed and best performing teams in the league, and choosing to ignore it all because your hubris tells you you're smarter than the guy with a spreadsheet. This text says, no excuse, Holland can't manage a cap. He criticizes other members of the organization, and we have no path forward to managing like it's 2022. Can't manage by eye test like it was 1986. These are the results that approach gets. See Detroit circa 2013 to 2018. We're a decade behind the teams, and it shows. From Craiger out west. How'd you respond to that, John?
I don't think it's as simple as that. I think that simplification is one of those ones where there's probably 10 or 12 categories that you have to measure players on. Character is one of them. You know, ability is another. Analytics have to be a factor. I totally agree that there are more different categories to measure a player and measure a player's success. But I tell you what, eye tests and character are still still very important team success. And any team you go to, you hear about and talk about how players like being around each other and like playing for each other. It's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, you know, it's interesting. I think Edmonton will continue to move in a more analytics-driven model, especially on the pro scouting side. It's more challenging on the amateur side because it's like I don't think the Western League today is what it was in the late 90s, early 2000s. Okay, I think it's easier to score today. I mean, there's 22 teams, right? Like when the league was at 16 or 18 teams, it won way more Memorial Cup championships. Figure out why.
Yeah.
You know, the talent was spread out amongst fewer players. And the other thing is you have a different type of player today. You know, you have players that have spent their entire off seasons in camps and have been at hockey academies all the way. Like, whereas if you're looking for a place where sometimes there's been some historical thoughts about the Quebec League that are just past their prime in terms of, they're soft players, easy to score. Look, we're not talking about the Sorel Blackhawks of 1974-75 when they had 300-200-point players. There's good, undervalued players out of the Quebec League because some people still are old school and perceive that that league's not as good as the WHL. And I'm telling you right now, the WHL expanded to the point. And this is why it's challenging to evaluate major junior hockey as an example. But in terms of on the pro side, you're comparing NHL players to NHL players or guys in the A to the guys in the A. And I do think you need to support that statistically and analytically because the numbers are there, John.
Oh, I mean, you're bang on. I mean, I think, you know, it would be silly to revert back to the old style eyeball system completely. It would make no sense. If you have information at your disposal, you better use it to be successful. You better use it to be successful. But that doesn't mean, at the same time, that you become so numbers-driven that you lose the eyeball test. Eyeball test is still part of it, Bob. It's one of the 10 or 12 categories, as I said. And that, to me, is important, is trying to use every bit of information you have to improve your hockey club.
Are we going to get a full season in, John?
I think we are. You know, there's a high, I think it's 102 games now that have been postponed or moved. I wouldn't be surprised, though. I mean, there was a goal to have everything done by June 30th. I think that might have changed. You know, I think we'll have a better sense of where we are by the last week of January, when perhaps a new schedule for that Olympic window does come out. We figure out how many games can be put into those 17 days. And then if we have to add 7 to 10 days to the end of the regular season, like we did in the 56-game schedule, there's no reason not to. The days of, well, the season has to be over by a certain period of time, I think we've learned in the last two and a half years that that's not necessarily the case. The season has to be finished when it's finished, not necessarily by a date on the calendar. So if we go to the 15th of July for games, including the Stanley Cup final, so be it. You know, I think Tampa won it last year on the 14th of July and everything got pushed. They're trying to get back to the, and if everybody understands, the fiscal year for the NHL is usually July 1st to June 30th, which means new contracts. That's why free agency was always on the 1st. They're trying to get back to that. But if COVID doesn't allow for that, or the provincial government rules and regulations don't allow for that, then there's no rule that says they can't go into July.
John, final one for you. This texter out of Edmonton texts, "Hey, Bob, can I put you and John on the spot? What would you say today is the Oilers' probability of making the playoffs?" John, I'm going to give you the first crack at that.
I still think it's above 50% making the playoffs. I still think that they're, I think whether it's a wild card or one of the three in the division, I still think this team can make the playoffs.
And I'll go 66%. So I think there's a two-thirds chance they make it. And it's a completely fair question coming off of a 2-9-2 stretch. Who knows? Maybe this little bit of a shutdown is going to work to Edmonton's advantage. Give them a chance to recalibrate, get the team a little bit healthy, and away we go. John, thank you for finding a way to do the interview with us today.
Thank you, Bob. No problem. Talk to you later.
You bet. That is John Shannon. It is 12:56 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back with more of your texts right after this on Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
John Shannon's appearance is brought to you by Legacy Heating and Cooling. Let's go into the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 12:58. Bob says, Trent, Evander Kane, off-ice issues aside, is the exact kind of player that the Oilers need. He's a Tom Wilson type, but in my opinion, has a higher upside. He can hit, score, and take care of business when needed. Worth a flyer for the remainder of the season from Trent. And again, $1 million prorated rest of the year. That's the price point. I gave a very specific number. And I believe there would be multiple teams that would be in on them. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. This texter out of Edmonton says, Bob, if John Shannon is telling you he wouldn't sign Evander Kane, that's the cue to do the exact opposite. Hashtag Peterborough Mafia. Oh, wow. All right. Well, we'll take a quick time out. It's 12:59 in Edmonton. We'll go off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And we're going to get an update from the Major Junior Front. We're still going to get to your texts on Evander Kane, but Kurt Hill, GM of the Edmonton Oil Kings, and Keith Gretzky, assistant GM for the Oilers, running the farm team down in Bakersfield. We'll get a complete and full update, including some contractual scenarios as well, after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.